going to read this morning is taken from Matthew 5, verses 14 to 16. Very familiar passage, but one that never ceases to speak to me and I think to all of us. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. This is the word of God for the people of God. It's been quite 2 weeks events that we've had here, and with all that's happened, it reminded me of a story. There was a flood coming into a city, and a lady was praying that God would protect her. Well, the water came up, and she had to go up on the second floor, and then she had to work her way up onto the roof. But she was trusting that God was going to rescue her. But as the water got up to her ankles, a guy came by in a raft, and he said, "Ma'am, get in, and I'll rescue you." She said, "Oh, no, the Lord's going to rescue me." Well, then the water came up to her waist as she was standing on the roof, and then a boat came by, and the boat said, "Ma'am, get in, and I will rescue you." She says, oh, no, the Lord's going to rescue me. Finally, the water's up to her neck. And a helicopter comes by and he says, "Ma'am, I'm dropping the ladder. This is your last chance." She says, "Oh no, the Lord is going to rescue me." Well, then she got swept away and she died. And when she got into heaven, she said, "Lord, before I go to paradise," she said, "why didn't you help me?" And the Lord said, "Help you? I sent a raft, I sent a boat, and I sent a helicopter, and you wouldn't get in." You know, one of our members actually was lifted by a boat and was taken out in a flood situation. But as I thought of this, we often think that God is going to send some super miraculous thing, but God sends people. And so we need to let our light shine with good works. We are in a parable series right now, and today's parable is letting our light shine by doing good works. The light on the lamp on the stand, this light on the hill. As we begin these series, I think it'd be helpful if you understood a little bit more what a parable is. Most of you do, but a parable is taking something in life that's a normal, everyday experience, something you see, and relating it to a deeper spiritual reality. And Jesus was very good at this. He would be standing and he'd look into a field. And he'd say, "Look at the lilies of the field," or he'd talk about a vineyard, or he'd talk about sheep on the hill and the one that was lost, or here he talks about the light and the city on the hill. These were all things that people could understand and relate to. And so as we think about this story and we think about the light, we got to remember that it's not like our modern age. I went through our house and I was counting the different lights in our house and outside, and with all the little techie gadgets, you know, of lights, and sometimes you can hardly get to sleep because you got your cell phones going off and stuff happening, you know, and if you're not careful. But I counted like 100 lights. Well, this wasn't true in Bible times. In Bible times, they might have one light for a house, and Jesus even said this. And they might have one light for the street. And if that light was out, boy, it was real trouble for them. And so they understood what Jesus said, "Don't hide your light under a bushel or under a basket." Now, as we talk about the light, and for all of us shining the light, we need to realize that Jesus is that light. And Reverend Len said it so well, we need to be plugged in to Jesus, to God, to let our light shine. But here's what Jesus said in John 8:12. "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus is the light. As you think about a light shining for others, I want you to think about a lighthouse. A lot of lighthouses in Michigan, aren't there? A lot of them back east where I grew up. I found in study that there were actually lighthouses in Jesus' day. And people understood the need to let a light shine out into the water at night for ships to safely get into the harbor. As the song says, Jesus is the lighthouse. We are not the light. In the New Testament, people were so amazed at John the Baptist, and they said, you know, are you the light sent from God? And he said, no, I'm not. There's one coming after me who is the true light. And throughout history, there's been a lot of persons that proclaim to be the light. And we think, well, you know, that's ridiculous. But do you know a lot of people in our world? They're their own light. What they think, what their opinion is, what their philosophy is, it comes from their own ideas. We live in a world that is increasingly secular. People choose, as the Bible says, to do what is right in their own eyes. I've said this before, and I'll say it again, but if you read or watch the news feeds, it seems like many people are making their own ideology or their own political party the light. And I think this is really dangerous because as human beings and political parties are human and sinful, and it's easy for the darkness to get in. But we don't treat people with respect or dignity, but we treat them as an enemy that must be destroyed. And there's a lot of prejudice in our world. We're prejudiced against people that don't have an education like we do. We're prejudiced against people who have not earned as much as we've earned. We're prejudiced against people of a different lifestyle, different culture. We're prejudiced against people of a different nationality or race. This was really driven home to me again this weekend, and someone we dearly love is in a mixed racial marriage, and it was very, very clear that somebody put out a call and made accusations, and they were the brunt of racial prejudice. This is not Jesus' way. Jesus said, love one another. Jesus said, love your enemies and pray for them. He said, do good unto others and love your neighbor as yourself. And John says in 1 John, if we do not love, we are in the darkness. We are in the darkness. So it doesn't matter how much we know. It doesn't matter how capable, how sharp we are. If we don't love one another, our neighbor, our world, we're walking in darkness. And so as followers of Christ, we must hold up that light. And we must do it in a non-judgmental way. We must live in our world showing grace to other people. We must reason with people with love. And so secondly, shine your light in the world so people may see Jesus. You know, it's not easy to be a Christian in our world. Some of this is perhaps because of hypocrisy of Christians and failures of churches in past history. But some of it is just a change going on in society. I was talking to one of our members, and they were living in Switzerland, and they were wanting to find a church. And they began to ask some of the people from Switzerland, you know, where was a good church? And one family said, well, why do you want to go to church? It was like that was not the thing to do. And I think sometimes because of the world's negativity towards Christ, towards Christianity, we are afraid to let our light shine brightly. But you know, God gives us ways to shine our light. I want to ask you something this morning. Do your colleagues at work, do they know you're a person of faith? Do they know you're someone who follows Christ? Do the people you hang out with in clubs or groups, whatever it is, recreation, do they know that you're a follower of Christ? If not, what can you do about that? If you've found someone who has, a family member has cancer, have you asked if you could pray for them? Have you ever told someone about one of our great concerts that we have, or maybe invited somebody to church? Or maybe if someone you knew was sick, you went to visit them in the hospital. These are all ways of shining our light. If we are not doing these things, we can be hiding our light under a basket. We need to keep that light on for all to find their way home. How many have had a friend coming in late at night and they were going to get there after 10 or 11 and they hadn't maybe been to your place and you said, I'll keep the light on, the lamp, the front porch light, so you can know it's our house, you can find the way. We need to be the light. Ships sank on the rocks if the lighthouse wasn't shining. And Jesus made it clear, friends, shining our light is pretty much priority number one. Now, Jesus knew it wouldn't be easy. He knew that we would face challenges. He knew we'd face difficulties in sharing the gospel. And so Jesus set us the example of declaring the gospel by feeding people, by healing people, by encouraging people, by meeting their needs. And so we also have to figure out how can we care for others in a way that will let us shine our light for Christ. In the same way, reading the scripture again, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. So the secret to reaching others is to shine Christ's light by your good works. And here's the good news. There are so many ways to do good works, to be a light. A few years ago, maybe 5 years ago now, we started the Neighboring Initiative. Our mayor said, in order to care for one another in our city, we need to reach out as neighbors. And about 30 churches, ours included, and Wally Maton and Memorial Presbyterian, I got very involved, and we encouraged people to be reaching out as to our neighbors. You know, I am thrilled that we reach out, and we must, to Saginaw, to Detroit, to other places around the country, to Africa, to Asia, but we cannot forget those right around us. When we did the Neighboring Initiative, some people said, well, I don't even know my neighbors. Now, a lot of you do, of course, but some people said they drive in their garage, they close the garage door, and I never talk to them, I never see them. Well, we said, well, get to know them. We said, well, pray for them. And then other people said, well, you know, my neighbors don't need anything. You know, I need to go places where there really are needs. For Carol and I, getting to know our neighbors has been a real blessing. In all the churches that we've served, we've tried to reach out, and I think we've received more back from our neighbors maybe than we've given. And I was thinking this the other day, how grateful I am for our neighbors. And it hit me again over the 4th of July weekend, and I believe it was Monday, and the office was closed, so I thought, I'm going to clean my grill. So I had the grill plates off, and I was cleaning them, and then my wife called. So now I'm on the phone, and I'm cleaning the grill, and I thought, you know, I got too much going on here, so I'm going to sit on this decorative bench that we have, which I had sat on before. But when I sat down on this decorative bench, it slid that way, and I went boom, and my legs went up in the air, and I screamed out because it was such a shock. And the neighbor across the street came across and said, are you okay? Are you okay? And I said, yes. She said, well, we wanted to make sure you weren't having a heart attack. And so I said, wow, I said, that's so good, and thank you, and you'd have been there for me, you know, and gotten an ambulance, whatever. And then I reached down, I got the cell phone, my wife is there, and I said, hi, dear. And she said, what happened? She said, I didn't know what happened. And she said, I lost you, and she didn't even know what had gone on because she didn't hear me shout out, but we kept talking. I think she was still talking while I was laying on the ground. We got a wake-up call 2.5 weeks ago. We found out that letting our light shine and doing good works and reaching out to our neighbors was really important. Our family woke up, Carol and I, and the dog, to 6 inches of water in our basement. 3,000 other homes in Midland had water. Some as high as 5 feet or more, people that live by the river. Some people had to abandon their homes, and their homes were unlivable. And for a lot of people, without a neighbor, they couldn't have made it. They wouldn't have had a place to stay. And it could have been a lot more serious. I know that a lot of you have had water, and you have stories to tell. I asked as many persons as I could this morning how their situation was, and I was grateful that a lot of people didn't. But here's some slides. Car covered up. There's the Tridge. It just about took over the city down there. And there's the H Hotel. And a lot of streets were flooded. A lot of, course, basements were flooded. And a really difficult time. One of our families had 2 foot or more in their basement where their children's bedrooms were. And Sunday 2 weeks ago was the celebration for Chuck. It was a very, very important day, busy day. But that night, 15 people went over and helped that family after such a busy day. I know one person on our staff who had water, and that person went and checked on 3 people the day where there was water in their house that they were trying to recover from. That is doing good works and letting your light shine. And God is so pleased when we do this. And this breaks down barriers. And this gives us an opportunity to show love. For a lot of us, we were involved in our own cleanup and helping our neighbors. It was hard to think about citywide, but we started to move as quickly as we could as a church. We sent email out and asked if people needed help, if people wanted to help. I went by the mayor's house on Saturday, 2 days after, and I asked the mayor if there was anything we could do, and she pointed us to connect with different agencies. Our United Methodist Committee on Relief has come in and has brought cleanup baskets. Reverend Len and Renee brought cleanup baskets. There are still some, or buckets, there are still some out on the Larkin Street. And a lot of people were doing all that they could. We could have done more. But I want to tell you that the cleanup is going to go on, and the restoration. A lot of times we get all burdened for a week or so or a month, and then we forget, and people are still going to need help. One outreach that really touched me is John Engler also, and Jamie got hit by water, and they were getting ready for a mission trip to Jamaica. Well, that didn't allow a whole lot of time, so they did what they could. John was up through the night, and what really blessed me is a bunch of 8 middle school students came over and some adults, and they were there, and they were helping clean up. And I got to tell you, the stuff, there's the students there, the stuff outside John's house, they needed a lot of help. And I just can imagine that those kids there were a light to the city. And I have to tell you that personally, I was blessed. I don't like to name names because sometimes I forget people. And sometimes somebody did something more than what I know. But I know for a fact that Penny Buffenbarker was just going around and checking and helping and spending days, and so was Bruce Race. It was like amazing. God bless you, and I know some of you probably did the same thing. Your light shone brightly. Well, Jesus said God's people are to be a light that guides others, because our world is lost. It's confused. It needs direction. It needs truth. It needs to know the message of Jesus Christ. And we are to be a lighthouse through our good works, helping others find their way. You know, if you are doing a good work, and you have been reaching out, and you continue to do so, and somebody says, wow, thank you, you're going above and beyond the call of duty, there's an opportunity for you to say to them, you know what, I want to do this because of me, but I want to do this because I follow someone who's called me, and it's Christ. And you can do that in a humble way without being haughty. When we do good works with real love, people are drawn to us and they will see God in us. And they will want to know this Savior, to become His child, to have assurance of forgiveness and eternal life and salvation. And we can't just shine our lights in deeds. It's got to be in the Word, too. The words that we speak. Some of you perhaps went and warned your neighbors that you had water and they better go check in their house. And who would see water coming down Main Street and coming out in other places and not go and tell somebody? And so we need to be willing to go and tell people about Christ's power, forgiveness, and grace. Our experience here reminded me of a mission trip we made about 4 years ago in New Jersey to help people who were recovering from Hurricane Sandy. And when the ocean comes in, it's pretty powerful. And homes were swept away, homes were destroyed. And we were working this one home, and they had 18 feet of water. And it washed their vehicle a distance. And this man that was in this home had been a Vietnam veteran, and he was suffering from the post-syndrome thing. What do they call it? PTSD. I know that, but when I'm preaching, sometimes my mind goes blank. So he was having a rough time, and he had built this house. And when we came in, about seven or eight of us, it was like, okay, who are these people from Michigan? Can I trust them in my house? And the state and federal government wouldn't let him do so much in his house until things were worked out, because some people were, you know, milking the system. So he was very frustrated. He built the house. He wasn't able to do much. And now people coming in from Michigan work on his house. Who are these people? Well, fortunately, we had Rich Dummler, who knows how to do a lot of stuff. And he whipped us all into shape, and we were working on that house. And as this fellow guy, we're still in touch with him, as he observed us, he thought, wow, these people are doing something. And he started to help us. And the person who had been counseling with him had shared that he wasn't able to do that. And as every day went by, he got closer and closer to us. He started having meals with us. He started working with us. And one day I had to leave early to come back for Sunday's activities, and we joined hands around my car, and Guy joined the circle and prayed for me. And we got talking, and he said to the group, he says, you know, I'm not going to church right now, but he said, if I could find a church like yours, I would go. So you see, when you do good works, when you love, when you pray, when you let your light shine, God can do amazing stuff. And then let me close with this. When something like this happens, you know, we talk about God moments. Where did you see God on a mission trip or something? There was like thousands of God moments in Midland, right? And in the surrounding area, Mount Pleasant, and so on and so forth, where we could be there and help. And let me say that as a pastoral staff, our ministry staff, our leaders, we can't meet all those needs. And that's a picture of life. Leadership can't meet all your needs and all the needs of this community. We need everybody in the church to be part of discipleship and outreach and doing good works and shining your lights. And so one of our thrusts for this fall is we want to do a kickoff of as many small groups as we can get. We'd like 20. I'd be blessed if we had 30 or even more of 10 to 12 people who are meeting together to care for one another, to pray, to get to know people. There's a lot of people you don't know in this church and don't know you. And then to think of a mission that they can be part of, and that can include reaching your neighbors, and that could include something like this experience. So this, we believe, is what God is calling us to. Finally, through all this, I think we've discovered what is really important. Not things, but relationships, family, friends, and God. Now, obviously, some things need to be replaced, and the heater's got to work. But we need to live this way daily. Let your light so shine through your good works that people may see them and they may glorify your Father in heaven. Then also, let me say, is that as you and I are there for someone else can be there for us. May you be Christ's light. May you love our world, and God will bless you richly. We're going to close with the song, "I Will Follow."
I invite you to stand as you are able. We'll close, as JD said, with "I Will Follow." Beautiful words.